Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman with American Family Association and American Family Radio, and I'm leading an 11-day tour of these two countries, Switzerland and Italy, March 7th through the 17th, and would love to have you and your family come along with us. We're going to be leaving from New York City to Zurich, where we'll start our tour. We'll also see Geneva, the majestic Swiss Alps. We'll also go to Venice and ride a gondola. We'll see the Leaning Tower of Pisa and also go to Florence. And, of course, so much to see in the historic city of Rome. There we'll be going to the Colosseum and the Sistine Chapel and many other places. For a free brochure, call today 1-888-FAMILIES. That's 1-888-FAMILIES. That's 1-888-326-4543. And join us on this very special tour of Italy and Switzerland.
From the nation's capital, this is Washington Watch, a broadcast of the Family Research Council. And now here's FRC President Tony Perkins.
As organizers of a German festival can testify, 'tis the season for attacks on religious liberty. The city of Chicago ordered the International Christmas Fair to reconsider its promotion of the Nativity Story movie because it might offend some non-Christians. The mayor said the city doesn't want to be quote-unquote insensitive to people of diverse faiths. But what does this say about our religious rights if a Christmas festival is no place to tell the Christmas story? A spokeswoman for the film's producer said she finds it hard to believe that anyone who attends an event that's called a Christmas night would be caught off guard. Celebrating the holidays, whether it's Hanukkah or Kwanzaa, is a fine idea, but it's only fair that the same respect be extended to Christians. All we want for Christmas is consistency. Otherwise, away goes the manger, gone are the carols, and all those wise men. Well, after this debacle, we could use a few of those wise men.
You've been listening to Washington Watch, a broadcast of the Family Research Council. To contact FRC, call 800-225-4008 or go to www.frcradio.org. There you can hear this broadcast as well as our weekend radio magazine, Washington Watch Weekly.
You're listening to Today's Issues with Marvin Zanders and Jeff Chambly. A cassette copy of today's broadcast is available for a suggested donation of $7.50. To order, call 1-888-FAMILIES. That's 1-888-326-4543. To contact us by email, go to afr.net. Now back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everyone. Our guest today is Nathan Tabor, former GOP congressional candidate, the founder and contributing editor to theconservativevoice.com, and the author of the book, The Beast on the East River, The UN Threat to America's Sovereignty and Security. Nathan, I wanted to pick up on a couple of things. One thing, you mentioned that the United Nations, to have real teeth in their laws, had to have the ability to tax. Where are they in regard to taxation?
Right now, thankfully, the one good thing about the Bush administration is they have fought off the United Nations plans to incorporate a world tax. The two biggest right now that are on the table, the first is the Law of the Sea Treaties. This is a tax that gives the United Nations the ability to tax mining that takes place in international waters and eventually international seaways, sea lanes, and airwaves. The amount, the billions of dollars that this would create a year for them would be just astronomical, if not trillions of dollars. The other, which is kind of going around the internet as a scam, but is actually true, is that the United Nations wants to tax every 100 emails 1 cent. If that was implemented today, that would create $70 billion a year in revenue for the United Nations. And the one thing that holds the United Nations at bay to a certain degree right now is that the United States is funding 20 to 25% of their budget. So if they had the ability to have their own money, to have their own resources, imagine the sanctions. I mean, look at, you know, Kofi Annan yesterday smacking the United States around. Just imagine if he didn't have to worry about where the money was coming for the UN. I can almost guarantee you that they would be putting sanctions or resolutions on the United States left and right.
I think that's pretty obvious to to anybody who's observed, the United States and Israel would be perpetual whipping boys.
Yeah, I mean, they would take the Israel, you know, with the resolution, the Hezbollah, I mean, a terrorist organization, a terrorist state, in the United Nations cannot even come out of support of a nation that's trying to be a law-abiding state. You take away the, you know, the Christianity or the faith or the religion of Israel, they're a country that's trying to do what is right. And the United Nations would rather support a terrorist organization.
No. What about the Kyoto Treaty? We said we didn't want it. We said we didn't sign it. We're not the only ones that didn't sign it. And yet, 10, 12 years later, they're still pushing, forcing America to kind of conform to the Kyoto idea, the Kyoto protocols.
Yeah, you know, and this was something, of course, negotiated heavily by Al Gore when he was vice president. It controls the greenhouse gas effects in countries, and the United States has, and I rightfully so, not signed it. I think, yes, we have to be concerned about the environment, and we have to address those issues. But currently, from at the time I had written this book, the United States had spent over $3 billion on trying to develop other energy sources and decrease the amount of greenhouse gases emitted. I think the biggest thing you have to look at here with the Kyoto here is Tony Blair out of the UK. They had signed up for this program, were going to implement it, and was full force ahead with it. And some like 3 months later, 6 months later, he came out and said, look, we cannot do this. We will not be able to participate with this. If we do, we will bankrupt the country of Britain. Because he quickly realized, look, if you're going to put yourself on this standard, and then the United Nations is not going to require that China and India put themselves on the same. I mean, we're already having enough trouble competing with the economy of China because they don't have they're not under Kyoto because they're a developing country. Can you imagine if we were having to put more restrictions on businesses within the United States of then trying to compete with China with that? It's economically, it would be a suicide position for the United States to take.
Nathan, I saw a cartoon not long ago when Israel had the conflict with Lebanon, and it had two bears literally going after each other's throat. And the caption went, in comes the UN to keep peace, and there was a little poodle walking in to keep peace between these ravaging bears. Does the UN want to have an army? And if they do, will they be more than simply just a peacekeeping force? Will they really have some muscle to them?
Well, first, I think that's an insult to all the poodles in the world. two, yes, I mean, the United Nations has a plan. You know, if you have these laws and regulations and you're going to pass these resolutions, I mean, you look at all the resolutions they've passed and then some that they've not gotten involved. Darfur is a big example. They're not getting involved with the genocide taking place there. But right now, the United Nations is totally dependent on member nations to provide soldiers, to provide personnel, military guns, armor, weapons to them. If you were creating $70 billion a year in revenue, you could have your own army. The most interesting and conflicting thing to me about the military is then-President Bill Clinton signing Presidential Directives 13 and 25, putting loopholes throughout the Constitution of saying that U.S. soldiers could be put underneath control of U.N. generals or the U.N., period. Article 2, Section 2 of the Constitution of the United States says the President, the Commander-in-Chief, is to be over all the Army and the Navy. And there's been no asterisk put there, but if there's a peacekeeping effort taking place in Bosnia. So for U.N. troops right now, ask Michael New from 1996, when he was court-martialed and disarmably discharged for refusing to wear a U.N. beret or U.N. helmet. And people question me all day, oh, well, that's not... Look, just because you don't know about it or you're not aware of it does not mean that it's not taking place. I was on a radio program the other day, and the host said, there is no U.S. soldier anywhere under control of anybody of the United Nations. I went to the AF, Air Force, .mil, military, searched their website, and four or five pictures immediately showed up of U.S. soldiers, U.S. Army, with a U.N. badge raising a U.N. flag from a press release they had done a year ago.
Wow. Interesting. Let's open up the phone lines, Jeff.
Let's do that.
Maybe our listeners would like to join us in this conversation.
All right. It's a toll-free number. We'd love to hear from you. 1-800-844-8893. 1-800-844-8893.
Nathan, you say that the globalist express is really picking up speed. Have we passed the point of no return? Is there hope for saving American sovereignty in the 21st century?
Yeah, there certainly is. I think we're to the point right now that the greatest damage, yes, there are unconstitutional things that have been done. I think the greatest damage that's been done currently is just the education, the perception. We've not really signed our things over into a lot of massive undermining of the Constitution. There are instances, World Heritage Sites, military, some education programs. But I think if we can educate folks and elect people who believe in the Constitution, we can turn this around and protect the sovereignty of the United States. Mm. One of the things, and I'm a Christian and I'm a conservative, and one of the most disheartening things of my research of the United Nations has been their global population agenda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we as Christians have a responsibility in Romans 13, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. And yes, that's our taxes, but in my opinion, what I think from Scripture is also our vote and our time. If we're electing individuals who are funding 20 to 25% of the UN budget, and then they're taking that money and going into third world countries and aborting babies against the women's will and sterilizing women, I think we will be held accountable for that one day.
Let's go to Fayetteville, Arkansas, and talk to Mark. Mark, you're on with Nathan Tabor.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you
morning.
For having me.
Mm-hmm.
We have had a series of presidents, starting with Reagan. Clinton was probably the worst. Bush Sr., he mentioned the New World Order first, that he saw the New World Order coming in as a time of great prosperity for the world. Bush Jr., that we currently have now, talks about Americanism, nationalism, but yet if you look what he does, the Security and Prosperity Agreement with Mexico and Canada, and him supporting the trade agreements that are in there, these are elite globalists. They don't care about the national sovereignty. They care about their buddies gaining more power and what they can do with it. You have to sometimes wonder about the evilness that is overtaking those, and I'll listen to the radio.
Okay.
What I think is happening here, and I almost wholeheartedly agree with the caller, I think what is happening here is our elected officials today are saying one thing, and then because the voters aren't paying attention or aren't voting, only 50% of Americans vote today on average, that then they're able to go to Washington or the state capitals and put into place what they want to. So I think it's really upon the shoulders of Americans, of citizens and voters, to become educated about the issues and then hold people to their word, to their campaign promises, to make sure that they deliver on what they say they're going to do.
Well, let's go to our next guest, Dean, on the NLA. I don't know what that means. That's what that means. Okay. Okay, on the road. The word was left out, and I couldn't figure it. I'm sorry. Let's go to New Hampshire and talk to Keith. Keith, welcome to the program.
Oh.
Hey, Keith.
Hey, good to talk to you guys. I try to call in once in a while. Sometimes can't get through. My input on the UN is to look back at Isaiah, mm-hmm. and when he warned about joining and leaving God and joining with others. Just if you could comment on that. And also the AFA Family Fun Cruise, I heard that you didn't need a passport to go on that cruise. Does that mean you have to stay on the ship or
no,
is the border open?
just a quick comment on that. The passport is preferable. If you don't have a passport, you will have to have a birth certificate with a raised emblem on it. And not just some copy of it. It has to be a very
notarized
and very official document from
right.
the state. And you have to have a driver's license that has not expired. That creates a lot of problems for people. And
right.
if you don't have those documents, you will not be able to get on the ship. But the way to avoid all that is to have an updated passport.
Okay.
Get a passport. Forget anybody ever told you you didn't need one. Let's say you need one, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thanks for your call, Keith.
Yeah.
Let's go next to Steve in Houston, Texas. Steve, welcome to the program.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I think, you know, the United Nations has never fulfilled its even its founding document principles. I can't recall what they were, but I know they were pretty pretty inspired and pretty profound. But now you have China, the former Soviet Union, Russia, and the National Security Council, and to say you have the wolf guarding the hen house is an understatement. But I would like to ask your guests comments about what is happening now in South America. It's very scary. Hugo Chavez is leading basically a really hardcore Marxist revolution that is sweeping South America and now threatening southern Mexico. I just read a book by Bill Gertz of the Washington Times called Enemies, and he talks about all of our national security interests and secrets, starting with the Clinton administration, have basically been stolen by the Chinese and the Russians, and basically that influence now that information is being shared. People like Chavez, he's buying massive military armaments from China and Russia and building ties with them, you know, through oil and many other ways. And it really threatens, the United Nations can't do anything about it and is, in a sense, supporting it. And I would like your comments about that in relation to the United Nations.
Okay. Thanks, Steve, for your call.
You know, in my opinion, I see the United Nations as much like a Trojan horse. Mm-hmm. You know, their original agenda was coming in, you know, eradicating world poverty and hunger, stopping the spread of disease, and of course now it's AIDS and HIV, helping set up, you know, countries that were struggling with their economy. I agree with all that. The problem is when the horse opens up and you see their globalist agenda of teaching our children, you know, act locally, think globally, and then you get into Hugo Chavez and Hezbollah, and even take Darfur, for example. If you're a human rights organization to stop, you know, the atrocities that are taking place around the world, why would you even have to think twice about going into Darfur and helping those people?
Yeah.
I think you have to really look past the image that the UN's trying to put forward and spread the curtain and see they don't care about human rights violations going around the world. They don't care about terrorist organizations. If that helps their agenda or if it doesn't hurt their agenda, they're fine with it taking place because they still see, look, I mean, NAFTA and CAFTA passed, European Union's passed. We're going right along with this organization. You know, two steps forward every once in a while, one step back. Look at the International Criminal Court. Bill Clinton put us into it. George W. Bush kind of half-heartedly took us out of it. I mean, ask Donald Rumsfeld if he's going to have a good Christmas or not under the thought of Germany bringing criminal war crimes against him.
Which there has been some expression they would do.
They're drawing up the charges. It's just a matter of time. When and how do they do it?
1-800-844-8893. That's our number. Let's go to Angie in Union City, Tennessee. Angie, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello.
I just want to give a plug for public school teachers.
Mm-hmm.
I am a public school teacher in Union City, Tennessee, and we have a really good school system. And I'm a Christian, and I know that our children... I have two children in our school system, and I feel that they're getting a good education. We do think globally, but yet I know that they have Christian teachers, and as myself as a Christian, I believe that it's my ministry to help educate these children, not only in just what the curriculum says, but also to encourage these kids in their lives and to have an Christian influence. And so I kind of get frustrated when I hear public schools getting a bad rap all the time.
Okay, well, thanks for your comments, Angie. We'll let Nathan comment. Thanks for calling.
And I certainly don't mean to insinuate that all public school teachers or everybody in the system is bad, because I have a lot of friends that are public school teachers or children that are in public schools. When I make comments like that, the overall agenda, though, of the public school system, which teachers normally don't, look at No Child Left Behind, one of the largest increases in federal government spending mandated that's ever taken place in the history of the U.S., and then look at the agenda. How hard is it to get abstinence-based education taught in our schools? How hard is it to get creation science taught? So I think we have to look at the larger picture is what I'm talking about.
And when you look at the agenda of the National Education Association on a number of issues, it's pretty obvious what's going on there.
They're very anti-family, and they're very look at, you know, Hillary Clinton, it takes a village to raise a child. What are you talking about? It takes a mom and a dad who should be raising a child.
Yeah. Let's go to Phil. Phil in Pensacola, Florida. Hi, Phil.
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
Doing well.
Good, good. Hey, I'm not trying to make a plug on a book, but I tell you, there's a book that I had an opportunity to read. It's been on the market for a while. It's called Behold a Pale Horse by William Cooper, and it tends to lend a great deal of information almost prophetically to the up-and-coming events and current events that are taking place globally. And it makes several references to the UN, the Bilderberg Group, and the Council on Foreign Relations. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, it's absolutely frightening, the secrecy and the seedy underbelly of those powers that be, and how they present themselves to be on one side of the fence when, in fact, they have an agenda of their own. William Cooper was a...
Phil, we're losing you. Sorry. You bring up an interesting point. I believe the book was Behold a Pale Horse by Cooper that was recommended by Phil. Thanks for calling, Phil. Let's go to our next caller, Deborah in Amarillo, Texas. Hi, Deborah.
Hi. How are you?
Great. Thanks, Deborah.
This program in American Family Radio is awesome, and I just so appreciate your work.
Well, thank you. You're an important part of it.
In reference to our sovereignty, I would like to ask a question regarding something I've heard. Now, I know that the North American Union is in progress to a degree right now, is my understanding. And I understand that in 2010, those that are implementing this plan to have it enforced. What can we do? Is this true?
We're getting close to the end of the program, Deborah. Let's let our guest comment.
Thanks
for calling.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. I mean, this is the presidential election is going to be, because the new American order union is coming about, the superhighway. Mexico is already building some trade stations out in Arizona and Oklahoma. So, I mean, the 2008 election cycle is going to be extremely important for the sovereignty of the U.S.
And the American electorate needs to pay attention, really needs to pay attention in this next election. Let's go to Larry in Delphi, Indiana. Larry, welcome to the program.
Hello, sir. I just wanted to make a comment. I am in the National Guard, and when I took my oath, it was to the president and to the governor of Indiana. I pray that if it comes down to the UN thing, that I would have the strength to just take the beating, because I won't do it.
Well, Larry, you expressed the feelings of a lot of Americans, and I'm afraid I'm with you on that.
Yeah, a great website that I would recommend for that to learn. Of course, my book has a lot. The MikeNew.com, it was about the story about Michael New.
Yes.
And his court case, Herb Titus, a lawyer still fighting his battle for him. I mean, this has been going on for 10 years now. I mean, the U.S. is in a pinch. If they side with him, they are saying that everything they're doing is unconstitutional, and that any soldier like yourself has the right, which you do have the right constitutionally, to refuse to wear a U.N. badge or a U.N. helmet. Then on the other side, if they come out against Michael, I mean, they're stuck between a rock and a hard place, and they're not doing what's right.
Yeah.
Michael New should have never been dishonorably discharged.
Yeah. Well, we've reached the end of the program, and I have to tell you, Nathan, there's a lot more information, a lot more things we need to know in this book that you've written than we had time for today. We'll have to do this again sometime.
Yeah. The biggest thing in closing here, the globe is the goal with the UN, and there is no middle ground.
Yeah.
You either believe in the sovereignty of the U.S. or you don't.
Yeah, well, sovereignty is the issue.
Yeah.
God bless America.
God bless you. Thank you, Nathan. The Beast on the East River. Had you read this before now?
No, I have not. Fascinating book, though.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, join us again tomorrow. Two of my favorite people will be here.
Brock and Bodie Taney.
Brock and Bodie Taney.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about the manger, the significance of the coming of Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
For a copy of this broadcast, call 1-888-FAMILIES. To order products mentioned on the program, visit the American Family Resource Center at AFR.net. Today's Issues is a production of AFR.